You're never going to believe that Fiona and I didn't have some collusion beforehand, because not only have we both written poems about bees, we've both written poems about the bleeding yew in Nevern Churchyard in North Pembrokeshire. And although I hadn't intended to read this, I couldn't really resist picking up the clue from Fiona. So here's my bleeding yew poem. Sliced clean as marble, a glassy mourner bending to read the blunt letters, the routines of leave-taking. But glass will splinter, ragged bites stand open, and the port-red ooze, crusted like scale in kettles, wanders, slow as a winter fly, across the Arctic slope. Gashed bodies push out their sickness through the skin. The marble mourner has leached up the fevers from the rubbed lives piled round its roots, sucking the moisture of the leaf-choked, rust-throated fountain forgotten in the wood, the well of loss, wounds, endings, seeping out under the prosaic stones, clouding the glass, cracking the ice. The tree of discharge. And I can perhaps stay in West Wales for a little bit longer. One of the really great poets of West Wales, somebody that I know Fiona shares my admiration for, is Waldo Williams. A primary school teacher, a Quaker. He went to jail in the 1950s for refusing to pay his taxes as a matter of protest against the Korean War. A man of just exceptional sanctity, I think one has to say, and still remembered locally. When I went to speak about him recently in North Pembrokeshire, which is his territory, I met people who'd been taught by him at school. And here are a couple of poems, part of a longer sequence about him and about what he meant. The first is called Masterclass. The children in the schoolyard run to hold the old man's hand. They hold the hand that ploughs, like Dewey, stony soil, where words will settle, germinate, build homes for fugitives, for the lost children far beyond the yard. He holds their hands. He feels the silk folds, thinks, will his plough-hardened thumbs print on the silk the skill to carve leaves for an open door? The children hold the engraved memorial hand, lift faces for inspection, steer him into school to meet the other teachers for their gentle sentence. And one of Waldo's loveliest poems is called Beth Udine, What is Man? And it's a series of riddle-like questions, as you find in Anglo-Saxon riddles. What is so-and-so? You get an image to capture it. So what is recognition? What is tradition? What is the nation? What is the family? And this is a little tribute to that poem. It's called A View. What is nightfall? The two grey millstones meeting, grinding the sweet furnace-bright berry so that the juice leaks out across the closing mouth. What is daybreak? Clay lips unsealed, a glimpse down the long lane of moisture gathering under the skin of the unconscious hours. What is the shore? The debris of an argument between the level grammar of the sea and the wild singular nouns of stone. What is the word? A swift fired from the bowstring buried in fern against the padded walls of quiet streaming upward from the hill. What is the voice? The single line as the hill crest swells, the liquid brimming in its improbable meniscus, on the edge always of dark streams falling. What is pity? Walking up into the colonnades of rain, tasting the water and the running mucus as you grow cold, knowing the skin is no defence. What is peace? Down in the nest of roots, fumbling for drink, pouring without end across the bruised dark sand. John and I have been talking a bit about poems about Jesus and how to write them. Unnecessary difficulty, I think, is perhaps the best way of putting it. I've been trying for the last year to write a sequence of, well, I suppose they're haiku, a rather informal and messy haiku, but one for each chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. So there are 21 of these. And what they try to do is hear something in each chapter of the Gospel and see what happens. The first one that I wrote was triggered by chapter 12 of John's Gospel, and if you bear with me, I'll just read from 12 to the end. The bowl glows in the furnace. Inside, the beads of sweat spit and scatter. 13. On the worn, shiny boards, the water runs, salt with refuse from dark roads. Door swings in the wind, empty path, low sun head blinds, slow steps welcomes. Knife-like the spring gales peel skin from sour flesh, shrinking from the candid sun. Long secret ends, blood smeared, a crown breaks the heaving of the body's sea. Stand here before the mirror where you see only the sun behind you. Splinters on paving stone, red smears, through the window foreign words stumbling. Behind the soldiers' backs, the cloth tears slowly, soaked, eaten with sour wine. Put your ear to the crusted gash in stone or flesh. The mouth speaks your name. Catch it, catch it. The lake brims over in the bright dawn, runs from my hands. And last, a few years ago, I was asked to write some poems about love, like you do. And what occurred to me was to write a little sequence called Shakespeare in Love. Shakespeare in Love, 10 prospects. And each of these 10 poems, they have 14 lines, but I'm not sure about calling them sonnets because they're a bit of a mess structurally. Looking at or listening to different plays of Shakespeare and just picking up what love was about in each of them. And just to finish, I'll read, I think, two of these. One is, first one is A Winter's Tale. The white cells flower in the bloodstream. Images of her, the dream of someone else's bed. Morsel by morsel, she too is eaten up, cancered and cancelled. Under the ground she goes, and he is left dreaming in fever of the empty beds. There was a man dwelt by a churchyard, dwelt in the neighbourhood of children's leprous gravestones, boys and girls dead in the great frost. One day there is an idiot fairground music, spring working loose. Women return to see the king's wasteland, the dry beds, and the blood flows again, fresh as cut grass, the white cell's colour. A dead boy stands up silent. A lost girl sees her strange parents for the first time. Stones move from monuments. Pins and needles. Life unconsoled. And the last of the sequence, King Lear. It does not keep you safe. It does not give you the words you need. It does not tell you how much to pay, how much they owe you. It will not work like egg yolks to cool the numb heat of lost eyes and treacheries. It does not surrender to the reasonable case for not risking everything to keep secrets and rivals, the white line in the tickling membrane of freedom. It will not keep you dry. Rain, like crying, sinks down to the bone. It will not stop, not when you sleep, not when you wake, not when you want it to. Not when you want to settle with the mirror of your shame. Never. It will not. Never.